Okay, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Good. Last week, Mike concluded his sermon series with Finishing Strong, and that included, it was wrapped around your prayer life through God, asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen you in times when you needed it so that you would finish strong and fight the good fight. My message, or the story, or the talk I'm going to give, is along the same lines, except it is praying for others, intercessory prayer, and that's what I'm going to talk about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come to your church and hear your word. Lord, open our minds and our hearts to receive the message that you've given. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, It was about a year ago or so, I had to check with Claude, that I was inspired to start a prayer list. And that inspiration came from a book that Julie had given me called Praying Circles Around Your Children by Mark Batterson. And this is the perfect book for a man like me. It's like about 100 pages, pretty easy reading. It's more like a super pamphlet instead of a book. However, this guy is a pretty impressive dude. He has a whole series of books on praying circles. And the story about it, we can go to the next slide, was inspired by a man whose story was told in the Jewish Talmud, and his name is Hani the Circle Maker. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing. I encourage you to Google the legend of the Circle Maker to read the story. Again, it's out of the Jewish Talmud, which is one of their history books, and it's probably, to the Jewish people, the second most important history book behind the Old Testament. So I encourage you to read it. It's a pretty neat story about this guy. And Mark Batterson has a whole series of books and sermons and things that he's done based around this story. And what's neat about him, and I found out in talking with Teresa that she's done a lot of their studies. She's read every one of his books. If you go online and read his stuff, he encourages people to share it with, you know, if you're a pastor reading, he says, share this with your congregation. Use this for a sermon. You have my permission, Mark Batterson. Not a lot of authors do that. So, anyways, through that, I was inspired to start my prayer list, and you can see it's pretty battered and torn. It goes around with me. Some charter members that were on this list originally, it started right around the time that Claude had said he was fighting cancer. So Claude was a charter member on here. He's back on for his knee, which he's having surgery on. Another charter member that's never left my list is our sister, Karen Kleppinger, and with her battle with MS. She's always on my list. I pray for her, I try to pray for her daily. Some others that have been on the list recently, Bruce and Teresa with the barn, Crystal Bedelian, Josh Freshour, and his trip to the Army. So we have a box of these, and we'll pass them out at the end of the service. You know, I know you folks probably have your own prayer lists or whatever. If you need one, it just helps me keep organized, and you know, write them down as I complete them. I rip it off, flies around with me. You can stick it in your pocket. It goes in the car. It sits on the spot next to my couch. We have some to pass out at the end of the service for you. So, all right. Intercessory prayer. Intercession is defined as the action of intervening on behalf of another. Intercessory prayer, then, is the action of praying on behalf of another. Some examples of intercessory prayer in the Bible include from 1 Timothy, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men." Here's Paul telling us that we need to pray for everybody, all right? Ephesians 6, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition, praying for all the saints. Make sure we're praying for our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Kind of the same in 2 Corinthians. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many, many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. So again, that's praying. We're praying for each other. All right. Here's the challenging one. This one came from Jesus in Matthew 5:44. He says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you." I don't know about you guys, but that's a tough one. That's a tough one, but we are called to do it. Jesus asks us to pray for even our enemies and those who would be beating on us. Okay, what are some types of intercessory prayer? There's corporate type, or praying for a group, which is praying for a general entity or a group, such as we ask that you pray for the Idaville Church of God, for our ministry to be expanded, that we would reach the lives of the lost in our city and in our county and in our surrounding area. That's kind of a corporate prayer. Or praying for the body of Christ, such as Paul had asked us to do, and also praying for the leaders of our nation. I pray for them a lot, and they certainly need our prayer. So, and then there's personal or appointed intercessory prayer, and this is where we pray for a specific person, an individual, your spouse who might be lost, or your daughter, or your son, your grandchildren, co-workers and friends. It was this book that helped me realize that even though my grandkids are in Los Angeles, and I can see them on Facebook every day and stuff like that, I don't get to interact with them, but I can pray for them every day and pray for their situations and pray for their mother and pray for my son-in-law. So when you start looking at all the people that you can pray for, your list can get pretty long. So that's why it helps to keep it organized. When we pray, Jesus wants us to be specific about the need. In Matthew 20:29-34, it is said, "As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David.' The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, and they cried out all the more." I'm going to stop here, because when I was reading this, and this came in another study that I did that went along with this. I love the truths of the Bible, the big, bold truths of the Bible. And then there's some little subtle truths, all right? Here's a group of people, and I don't know if the disciples were part of this or not, but here's a group of people that have walked and talked and ate and broke bread and watched miracles performed by God in man form. And sometimes they just didn't get it, right? Some of the other examples are, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." What do the disciples do when the kids rush in to want to see Jesus? They stop them. They stop the kids. Don't bother them. And our Lord kind of undressed them. Let them have it. He rebuked them. Another one, when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he sent ahead to that Samaritan village because he was tired and he wanted to find a place to rest. And they rejected his request, right? So the Thunder Brothers, as I've heard them called, James and John, who are right there with the Prince of Peace, asked, "Well, should we just call down fire and hell and brimstone and wipe that village out and nuke it into pork rinds or something?" And the Lord had to rebuke them. So, and the reason I point that out is that they don't get it all the time. When it came time for these guys to write the Word of God, to put it down on paper, they shared their mistakes too. This stuff could have been easily like, "Well, we'll forget about that. We told those blind guys not to cry out or anything like that." They shared their mistakes too, and that's the subtle truth that I love about it. And I'll be honest with you, it's because there's times that I just don't get it myself. There's times I whiff on opportunities to share Jesus. There's times when I'll read certain scripture, and I'm like, it's just going bing, bing, or going in and bouncing around in the air in there and comes out. I just don't get it. However, our Our Father is true and faithful, and through a lot of counseling from my wife, sermons that Pastor Mike gives, things that I share with brothers, our small groups and stuff like that, answers come, and I still learn. So, but there's times I will be so honest, I just don't get it. So, anyway, so they cry out to the Lord, and I love this, okay? These are two blind guys, all right? And in this day, am I too close or no? Okay. In this day back then, you know, if you had a disability, you were kind of basically on the fringe. You know, they didn't have, you know, people and places and stuff to go for the blind or you know, the invalids and stuff like that. Those people basically found existence on the fringes of society. You know, they weren't in the mainstream, all right? So here's these two blind guys, all right, that are sitting by the side of the road. And I'm sure, you know, in those days, everybody knew, you know, in your town who the handicapped guy was or who the blind guy was. And a lot of times, these people, society thought that, you know, the reason that guy is blind is because somebody in his family committed a great sin or you committed a great sin. So they were shunned and stuff like that. Okay, these guys might be blind, though, but they certainly had heard about Jesus, hadn't they? Because it says, hearing that Jesus was passing by, they cried out. So when they cried out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called to them and said, now, I'm thinking he probably knows these guys are blind, right? Everybody kind of knows. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and, I love this, followed him. So Jesus asked them to be specific. Tell me what you need, even though I think he knew. So, all right, let's talk about some of God's basis for intercessory prayer. Starts with our personal relationship with God. As a result of our salvation, we are a child of God, all right? So now we have the ability to set our fathers, all right? He's our fathers now. When you're a child of God, you get to call him Father. And our Father he's got a lot of resources, full of love, complete love. He's a big sugar daddy. And we're allowed to sit at his feet and communicate with him, our awesome God. Another basis is God's desire and power to answer prayer. His desire comes from loving us and the person that we are praying for, all right? And that can be anybody. If you look at what it says in John 3:16, you know, very popular, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that everyone that believes in him, not everyone except for the family whose last name starts with Q or something like that, everyone that believes in him shall not perish, will have everlasting life. And then another one is God's concern for every aspect of our lives. He's concerned for both our physical and our spiritual well-being, and he's also concerned for the people that we pray for. So, you know, if Megan came up to me and said, Daddy, can you help my friend, okay? I'd probably go, okay, wait a minute now. Who's this friend? Are their parents? Who are their parents? Are they yo-yos? I mean, you know what? I don't know. You know, I'd be questioning it. God doesn't. God loves everyone. He loves all his children. Some more, let's see. Based upon our concern for other people, God shares those same concerns, just like I was talking about. So when we pray for other people, we are expressing God's love for them also. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That's where we're asked to, you know, we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to love each other. It is this concern for other people that motivates us to pray. You know, be it our grandchildren, our spouses, people at work, friends we know, good friends, enemies too. Yes, Lord, enemies too. Based upon our willingness to submit to God, okay, it's also based upon our willingness to submit to God's will. All right. On the night before being crucified, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." I think this was in the garden. However, he finished his prayer, "Yet not my will, yours." So we share our desires for others with God when we pray for them. All right. And we need to submit our desires to his will, like it was in the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we pray and we ask God that it be in God's will, whatever it might be for a friend, coworker, family member, grandchildren. Okay, what needs are we praying for? And I don't know if you guys share this at the top of your list, but I think spiritual salvation is probably the number one issue that we pray for people, all right? Think of your family and friends that don't know God. Because of that, they are either unwilling or unable to pray to God about their own needs. They're separated from God by their sins. Many folks live as if there is no God. And you see that more and more today. However, because of God's great love, compassion, and faithfulness, we have the opportunity to cry out to God on behalf of the people that we pray for. We can ask God to provide their needs. All right? Some of the other ones: healing, travel protection. We always hear it say traveling mercies, deliverance from difficult situations, encouragement, and happiness. I think you pray for folks and they get saved by the blood of the Lamb. I think there's a lot of happiness coming in their lives. So when you start praying for people, and you've experienced this, I'll give you an example. You can expect some interruptions in your life. You know, when you're praying for somebody that doesn't know God, all right, the Lord might put you in a place where that person asks you, "Can you tell me about a Christian life?" So expect to have your interruptions done. I know when we joined Kairos, all right, and Bruce may have experienced this too, when we were going to do the fall trainings, and usually our going into Westville would be in November, that schedule would come out, and you'd be looking, man, it's going to be on opening day for bow hunting. I just know it. You know, you look, yep, we're going to be missing opening day for bow hunting because we got to go for a training. So it happens. But be willing. As it's been said, you've heard it said many times before, we are his hands and feet here. He wants to reach through us as Christians to touch the world, to save people, to heal people. So be willing. And don't give up praying for those on your list. God hears our cries. He is loving, he is faithful, and he is strong. A regular prayer life feeds us with power and knowledge of Jesus, all right? So we get to know him. He knows us, and we get to know him, which is important to our daily walk. I'm going to share a story of prayer. There was a 19th century evangelist, and I'm going to close with this. There's a 19th century evangelist by the name of George Mueller, all right? And this is a man of faith, all right? And this is a guy that's been credited. In his time, he was credited with caring for over 10,000 orphans during his evangelistic and his pastoral life, all right? He started a prayer for five people. He picked five people in 1844. All these people were unsaved, and they were friends of some boyhood friends of his. They were unsaved. He started praying daily. He says here, okay, "In November of 1844, I began to pray for the conversion of five individuals. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether I was sick or in health, on land or in sea, or whatever the pressure from my arrangements might be." All right? 5 years elapsed. 18 months went by after he started this, and one of the people got saved. And he said, "I thank God, and I prayed on for the others." 5 years went by, and the second person got converted. He said, "I thank God, and I went on praying for the other three. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the third was converted. I thanked God, and I continued praying on for the other two. Mr. Mueller died in 1898. All right, the two people that had not been saved yet that he prayed for every day were friends of a boyhood friend of his. In his time, during this 52 or 53 years, all right, at the time of his death, Mr. Mueller had prayed almost 19,000 prayers for these two individuals. All right, he passed away and they had not been saved. But the end of the story, though, is 2 years after his death, both people gave their lives to Christ. Anyways, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for your word and for people like George Mueller that we can see and watch and learn from how your grace comes to those that are faithful, and we know you're faithful to us. Lord, just give us a good week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.